Thanks everybody that's helped to start the meeting by doing some readings, and welcome to those that have joined us since we first started, and I hope you can hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So just to prove that Tradition Lion is alive and well, and NA as such, it will now be organised on a moment by moment basis, and that higher power is always there to step in when he's most, or he or she or it is most needed, I'm going to ask Jay to introduce our speaker tonight.
I'm an addict. My name is Jay.
Hello, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
The individual that's graciously accepted our invitation, very short, like 5 minutes ago, is somebody that I've met. Actually, I've not physically met her yet, but we have talked on the phone extensively. I met her at Earth Group NA years ago, when we were all running around on Skype, and I ran into that meeting, and she was there, and one of the trusted servants of that meeting, and we have done service around the world. She winds up sometimes in these meetings. She winds up down in Australia. I do a her meeting with her. I do service with her at that meeting, and it is a special day for her, and I'll let her tell you about that. And without further ado, I always enjoy what she has to share. Jean, would you share with us tonight?
Thank you, Jay. My name is Jean, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Jean.
Hey, Jean.
It's nice to see some familiar faces here, too, from other meetings I've been to in this one. Yes, today I'm celebrating 33 consecutive years clean. Thank you so much. And I'd actually like to start out by reading the Just for Today meditation. Those who want to recover, December the 5th. We have seen the program work for any addict who honestly and sincerely wants to stop using drugs. How do we know when someone honestly and sincerely wants to stop using drugs? The truth is that we don't know, because we cannot read minds or know another's motives and desires. We simply have to hope for the best. We may talk to a newcomer at a meeting and think we'll never see them again, only to find them several years later doing well in their recovery. We may be tempted to give up on someone who keeps relapsing or doesn't get clean right away, but we must not. No matter how unwilling someone may seem, a simple fact remains: the addict is at a meeting. We may never know the results of our 12-step work. It is not up to us to gauge the willingness of a newcomer. The message we carry is a part of us. We carry it everywhere and share it freely, leaving the results to a power greater than ourselves. Just for today, I will share my recovery with any addict, anywhere, anytime, and under any circumstances. I will leave the results to my higher power. And this reading, obviously, it's special to me because this is a reading for my clean day. But more importantly, it really reminds me, when I first got here, I was seriously ill in every imaginable way and blatantly suicidal. And I did not know until I was a year clean at my 1 year anniversary that, there were a significant number of people in the recovering community where I got clean who did not think I would make it. They did not know if I'd kill myself or, pick up again. But there was just people who did not think I was going to make it. I'm really glad nobody ever said that to me, because had they said that to me, or had I heard that they were saying that about me, I probably wouldn't be here today. because what kept me going, putting one foot in front of another no matter what, was hope. You know, that all I had to do was survive today, get through today. You know, and I went to 4 and 5 meetings a day. And it was literally go to a meeting, stay clean between meetings, hang out with people between meetings, go to a meeting, stay clean between meetings, hang out with people, go to a meeting. And I had such pride and arrogance that, I mean, I remember going to the meetings after the meeting. We'd go to the coffee shop, and I had no money, literally had no money. And somebody would say, oh, you want something to eat, Jean? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know, and somebody would still, you know, shove a plate of French fries over for me or, you know, buy me something to eat. And when I protested, it just said, pay it forward. Do it for someone else, you know, when you're able to do that. Little things, sitting in a candlelight meeting, the first meeting that I went to this time, it was, you know, 1987, the calendar for 1987 and the calendar for 2020 are exactly the same, you know, so it's 33 years on a Saturday, December the 5th, that I got clean. But the meeting that I went to that I remember is the Friday night meeting. It was a candlelight meeting. And we all sat in a circle in the basement of this, I think it was a school. And when someone finished sharing, everybody said, love you, was the person's name. That's what I remember. I wasn't clean that night, but I was clean the next day when I went back to the meetings. It's been an interesting journey. And it has been a journey and a learning experience. And I'm so grateful, you know, for all the people who've gone out and experimented for me so I haven't needed to. I've been around long enough to watch people go out with significant clean time. A couple years back, somebody that I knew went back out and they had 30 years. And I was just horrified. But it was a reminder for me that it doesn't matter how long I'm clean. I have a disease that is not going to go away. And it will lurk and sit in the corner and, you know, hide under the blanket and do whatever it has to do and wait and wait and wait. So if I'm not vigilant about my recovery, if I don't use all the tools that are given to me all the time, my disease is just waiting for an excuse, just waiting. You know, somebody has their mic open. Wish I had wonderful, inspiring message. You know, there's a speaker jam going on elsewhere today, and there've been a lot of speaker jams, and I've been feeling very less than, not really feeling that I have anything to say. I'm not sure that's true, but it has been the feeling, and I've just learned over the years that just because I feel something, you know, doesn't necessarily make it a fact. And it's about, what do I do with that feeling? Not about, oh, I shouldn't have that feeling, because feelings are normal human emotions. Some days are diamonds, some days are stones, and some days it rains. So I have to deal with my feelings. What do I do about them? If I get angry, what do I do with the anger? Do I hit you in the mouth? Do I have a hissy fit in front of you? Okay. What I usually do, I call my sponsor. And she'll say, write about it. And I'll sit down and I'll write the letter that says, you know, I hate your guts, you're a rotten person, blah, 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 blah. And I tear it up and throw it in the trash. I did something with the feeling. But I didn't have to do harm to myself or anybody else just because I was angry. And then I sit down and do the work behind, okay, you know, what? Why were you so pissed off about that scenario? What that person, you know, what about that person pisses you off? Because it's not about you and what you did. It's always about me and how I reacted and why did I react like that? That's this disease. You know, people always say, oh, well, tell us how you did it. Well, I did it just like everybody else. I just stayed clean. I just effing stayed clean, no matter what. And for the longest time, I had no obsession to use. It was not my first thought. Usually my first thought was to kill myself. You know, and then I got to a place where it was like, you know, no, I don't want to use, just cut to the chase and give me the gun. You know, in the first 5 years of my recovery, I was seriously suicidal. I didn't talk about it. I didn't tell people about it. I prayed about it, and prayed about it and prayed about it and got up every day and said, dear God, please keep me clean. Don't let me die just for today. And then one day, sitting in Austin, Texas, in my little shabby apartment, in the middle of tremendous flooding at that point in time, and I have some PTSD around some weather issues. We won't get into that. But anyway, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I realized that despite the problems I was having, you know, at the time, I was not thinking of killing myself. And I remember sitting on the couch and just crying because that was such a miracle. My first thought was no longer, I want to die. So I keep going just for today. Stay in today. It's really hard to describe how things are in my life. There's a peace and serenity more times than not. You know, I have a loving, caring power that's greater than me that I didn't have when I got here. Because I knew there was something out there because I had a religious upbringing, but I just didn't believe it was going to work for me because I couldn't get it right. Just flat ass, I couldn't get it right. I kept doing it again and again and again, whatever it was, you know. And the God that I grew up with was not a warm, fuzzy guy, you know. He was gonna get you because you couldn't do it right. So I had a hard time with that. But I began looking around and opening my eyes and my heart, my eyes and my ears, and started to try to see how this power worked in my life. And one of the earliest things, and it's special to me, it probably sounds weird to other people, but, you know, by my first year clean, on the route from where I lived to the clubhouse where the meeting was, there was an intersection, and every time I came up to that intersection, I used to pray that the light would be green, because I was afraid if I had to stop at that intersection, that I would make the wrong choice, and I would turn left or right. Neither direction would have taken me to a healthy environment, and the only hope was to go straight. Every single time I came up to that intersection, that light was green. And it was green until the day I moved out of that town. And even to this day, I believe that that was my higher power showing me that, yes, you know, I'm taking care of you. Just a simple little thing. Today, if I go to the grocery store and there's a parking space available near the door, I say thank you, God. I had nothing to do with that parking space being available for me. I choose today to see that as a gift from my higher power. There's been no burning bush, you know, nothing like that. It's just a shift in my perception, in my perspective, in how I choose to see things today, which is way different than it was when I got here. The tools of this program work. They worked in early recovery. They worked when I had 5 years clean. They worked when I had 10 years clean. They work today. Go to meetings. Get a sponsor. Not just get a sponsor. Use your sponsor. I've always been pretty independent. Oh, I can take care of it. Oh, I don't want to bother anybody. Well, I pulled that line on somebody one time in a coffee shop, and she'd come to meet me because I'd called the helpline because I was traveling and I was panic stricken and begging somebody, please come talk to me. And this lady came, she sat, we talked for quite a while. It was wonderful. And at the end of this, I'm just blithering all over her about how grateful I am. Thank you so much. You saved my life and blah, 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 blah. You know, and she said, you know, if nobody asks for help, you know, I can't give it away. And we only keep what we have by giving it away. So she thanked me for helping her stay clean that day. And it was just, again, an awakening for me that, you know, this is a we program. And a lot of times when I'm not feeling well and I don't really want to ask for help, I'll just reverse it and I'll call somebody and just see, hey, how are you doing? What's going on with you? And maybe in the course of the conversation, what's going on with me might come up. But I've tried to take the focus off of poor Jean and all her big, you know, her problems in life. And focus on what can I do for somebody else. I'm not always successful. I'm certainly not perfect. I can rant and rave with the best of them. Jay knows that, you know. I can be really stubborn and extremely opinionated. You know, what I believe is right, but I don't have all the answers. I don't even know all the questions. And the older I get and the longer I stay in recovery, the more I am totally in awe of how this works. I found out just recently the lady that I sponsored a number of years ago who had a terrible time staying clean, in and out, in and out, in and out. She just celebrated 6 months clean. And it's like, wow. See, it does work when you want it, when you're ready. We have seen the program work for any addict who honestly and sincerely wants to stop using. Can't give you that. I can't give you the desperation. And just because, you know, I've stopped using drugs doesn't mean my life has been all peachy keen and rosy. I've lost both my parents in recovery. I lost my youngest brother in recovery. I've moved around quite a bit and been a little unsettled in those moves because staying connected to people continues to be an uphill battle for me. I'm really good at crisis management. You need help? It's crisis management, no problem. I need help, crisis management, no problem. But on a regular, consistent, maintain a relationship friendship thing with other people, it's still something that I don't do well. And it's not particularly because I don't want to. It's just I have learned to live for so long with kind of an out of sight, out of mind mentality, that it's kind of my comfort zone. But one of the things that I really enjoy is one-on-one conversations with other addicts, whether it's crisis management or just, you know, hey, I just thought I'm just thinking of you after 20 years and thought I'd give you a call. Yeah, I, you know, this is, I really don't know what else to say. The tools work. You have a trouble with the higher power thing? Use mine. They always told me, you know, don't put God in a box. There's nothing my higher power cannot take care of, cannot handle. And I always get exactly what I need, exactly when I need it. I don't get it 2 weeks in advance. I don't get it 2 hours in advance. I get what I need when it's time. And the same way with dealing with issues in the steps. You know, anything that I have been willing to work the steps on works. I get resolution. I get a solution. And it doesn't matter what the issue is. Time and time again, I go back to the steps. And I'm a big fan of the basic text. It's called basic for a reason. Well, I guess dead air means I've run out of things to say. I used to think that I wanted to be a convention speaker when I first got clean. I was all rah, rah, rah. And thinking, oh, that's really cool. I want to be up there on stage. I want to be a convention speaker. But you know, the longer I'm clean, the less that appeals to me. I used to think that I used to think I was somebody because, you know, in my life previous to recovery, my job put me out there and I was somebody. And I had the illusion of power and control. I don't have that anymore today. I don't need to be or want to be the center of attention. I don't want to be a convention speaker. I don't want to be on a pedestal. The only difference between me and the person who walks in the door 5 minutes ago, I just have more practice using the tools. And practicing using the tools has given me some experience. And living clean has given me some experience. But I'm not better than or less than anybody else. And I've been in places where I have had the most clean time. And I will tell you, that can be very scary. Very scary. Because that means that I have to let go of any pride and ego I have if I want to save my life. I can't sit in a meeting when shit's going down in my life and not say anything and pretend like everything's okay and be the person with the solution and the answers for others. My pride has almost killed me in recovery, just like that. And I've been a raving service junkie since I got here. 2 weeks clean, you know, I was group secretary. I think I had 30 days clean, and I was going to region and trying to do a newsletter for them. You know, I've just been a raving service junkie. and almost killed myself in service work. Literally down on my knees, begging to stop doing service work. And I actually had to go cold turkey. Somebody would say, would you chair this meeting? Nope, can't. Would you sponsor me? Nope, can't. Okay. Would you do any service work one time? And I knew I could not do it. Because work was my first drug of choice. That's where my self-esteem was. That's, you know, where that's where everything came from. I was what I did. Narcotics Anonymous gave me who I am. And today I can do service work again because I have boundaries. And I know how much I can do. I know how much is too much for me. And I don't have to be the end all and be all. Yeah, and I mean, I'm a believer in service work. But I also have learned that just because, you know, service work does not mean I have to have a hat. I don't have to have a position. Service work is suiting up and showing up in a meeting. Sharing in a meeting is service work. Talking to that newcomer who's standing off in the corner, doesn't know what to do with themselves. Just saying hi, that's service work. Giving somebody my phone number, that's service work. I don't have to be GSR. I don't have to be area chair. You know, I don't have to be the regional rep. I don't have to be a convention speaker. I don't have to have a hat. I don't need a title. It took me a long time to learn that. Because I thought I was somebody. And I thought I needed to be somebody. And the truth of the matter is, I don't want that anymore in my life. It made me very, very, very sick. So I'm always grateful to be reminded that, you know, I'm just another addict. Maybe my story, the story of my life, might be different than yours, but I got here just like you did. I was sick and tired of being the way I was. I'd had enough. I couldn't do it one more time. It didn't work. And I stay here just like you guys. I don't use no matter what. I go to lots and lots of meetings. I have a sponsor. I use my sponsor. I sponsor others. I have a higher power. I use my higher power. And to the best of my ability, I work with others on a daily basis, on an as-need basis, as a how things show up in my life basis. If you're new here, please stick around. It was really hard my first year. One of the things that helps me stay clean is I don't ever want to repeat it. I don't ever want to repeat my first 5 years. And as long as I don't pick up, I never have to. Nobody's told you they love you today. Let me be the first, but not the last. Thank you all for being part of my recovery today.